A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Wherever you find yourself this morning. And it's a Tuesday morning. Who are you choosing today? Well, you have chosen Eagle FM. Thank you for choosing us this morning. Thank you for choosing us this morning. And we all love it. We always love it to be in your company. And thank you for thank you to Lois for early morning scoop. I'm not too sure. There's something going on that I'm not too sure if I'm on air. Yes, possibly I am. Yeah. All right. Well, good morning. If you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM, your 24 hours talk radio stations. Thanks for joining us. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, issues that shape our world. This show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, cultures, social issues, we are here to make sense of all it together. So, but it's not just about us talking. It's about you. Share your thoughts, your opinions, and perspective on the topic that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning to you. It's a Tuesday morning, the 13th of May. The year is 2025. And if we look on the 13th of May, what happened on that day in Africa? On this day in Africa, not many things happened that are of significance. May 13, 1958, a group of French military officers led a coup in Algiers, demanding that a government of national unity be formed under the Charles de Gaulle to defend French control of Algeria. So this event was a pivotal moment in the Algerian War of Independence. And on May 13, 2020, Lesotho confirmed its first case of COVID-19 on this day, becoming the last African nation to report an infection during the epidemic. So, yeah, basically, those are the two most significant events on the 13th of May on this day in Africa. So, and the thought for the day on Unpacking the Day, I love this one. He who swallow a complete coconut, trust his anus. He who swallow a complete coconut, trust his anus. So the proverbs conveys the idea that taking on something extremely big or risky requires a great deal of confidence. Great deal of confidence, preparation, and even recklessness. Now, the proverb suggests that the person doing so must believe they can handle the consequences, no matter how difficult. Now, this proverb serves as both an encouragement for boldness when necessary and a cautionary reminder to consider the consequences before acting. So, yes, our thought, the thought for the day on the 13th of May, on Thursday, is he who swallows a complete coconut trusts his anus. So, when we come back, we're going to look at what we have for you this morning. So, invite you to stay tuned and join me as we unpack the stories that are going around the country and around the world. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsi Nehangano, Dio Sherero Omaimburiro, The Catholic Simane Kakarunga, The Afrikaans Sing for Diara, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, Eagle FM. So wherever you are, Eagle FM is with you. That's right. Okay, so that's wherever you are, Eagle FM is with you. Accessible anytime, anywhere. All you need to do, all what you need to have is your phone. And you are instantly connected to the news, your favorite shows, and also to so many features that are on Eagle FM app. All you need to do is just download the Eagle FM mobile app, which you can download from your Google Play and also your app stores. So, and once you have done that, you are good to go. So, and if you want to stay always in the know with business and economic news and the latest policy development, you can subscribe to The Villager. You can grab your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All you need to do is send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-200-41-44. And as you are a business person, we're making it easier than ever to grow your business. Our complimentary applications, our complimentary apps, Imba and the Imba app and also Eagle FM app are perfectly for boosting your product and services to a wider range of customers. And don't forget our social media platforms. They are some of the most active in the country, giving you the perfect space to elevate your brand and product visibility. So contact us at 083-2888-400. So 083-2888-400. And very good morning. Our time is about 43 minutes past the hour of 7. And if you're just joining us, you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. My name is Michael Chauvelli. I will be with you until the hour of 9:30. So that's how far we have. So we still have plenty of time to be together this morning. So now, welcome to Unpacking the Day. Namibia's public health system is meant to care. It's meant to care for everyone across the wild, you know, across this wild country. But in the, but it has been reported that many public hospitals struggle with shortages of beds, medicines, and machines like X-rays and CT scanners. So when you go to the hospital, so you expected the hospital to function. So when you go in sick, so you expected to be treated and be given all necessary supplies or necessary medical supplies that you need. But the recent news suggests that that's not what is actually happening in many of the hospitals across the country. So let's start with the case in question. Let's start with a recent story from Rundu. A local newspaper report described patients at Rundu State Hospitals being told to go buy medicine for themselves at private pharmacies. So, well, this sounds surprising because the report also showed that the hospital's own storeroom was full of supplies. So shelves stacked with malaria test kits and anesthetic bags and bandages and other basic medicines were found gathering dust in the storeroom, just waiting to be given out. So yet, you know, people are, you know, are sent out, you know, are told to go and buy some of supplies. They are told to go and buy supplies from private pharmacies. So, and a man bringing his sick daughter for malaria treatment was told the hospital had none of the test kits he needed. They said, well, we don't have the test kits that you need. So he ended up actually buying a test kit from a shop and bringing it back for treatment now himself. So other patients reported similar experience. They were told to purchase pain medicines, wound dressings, and even rabies vaccine privately. The people were told to go and buy this rabies. In one case, a grandma could not actually afford the jab that normally person injected for her grandson needed after a dog bite. So the situation is really concerning. Medicine sitting in storerooms, but people sent away empty-handed. So, and in Rundu, malaria test kits and basic antibiotics were found unused in the storerooms, while people actually sent away to go and buy that from the private institution, from private pharmacies. So, and as I said, patients have reported needing to buy even anesthetic or bandages because they were out of stock at the hospitals. And also, I think some other report also indicated that doctor reportedly limited operations to emergencies only when certain medicines ran low. So now it's really hard to imagine a public hospital with now in this case we're talking about Rundu, a public hospital with medicine on its shelves, yet patients are told, hey, go buy it yourself. You know, the question is, how can this happen? How can this happen? So one reason may be, may lie in the way the health system is organized. You know, Namibia's Ministry of Health has a central supply depot, which is called the Central Medical Stores, which sends drugs to the region, right? So if the ordering, say, for example, the ordering or delivery process breaks down, so if it breaks down, somebody didn't do their job. If it breaks down, then hospital can end up actually without what they needed. So even if the country as a whole has enough stock. So, and I think that was actually at one point the minister was actually talking about. So somewhere, somehow, the process breaks down. Someone maybe failed to order or paper didn't get to who he should have got and all that. Now hospital can end up without what they need, even if in the country as a whole has actually enough stock. So the ministry itself has pointed to poor coordination and between regional health offices and the central stores, so that the coordination between the regional health offices and the central stores, the medical central medical stores, I think that's where the crack of the matter is. So in simple terms, imagine a warehouse in Windhoek full of malaria kits while Rundu shelves are empty because the order never arrived. So, and maybe that's why we have a lot of cases of malaria in the region, and also a lot of death due to malaria in the regions as well. So the official said orders for medicines and supplies are sometimes not delivered on time. There are other things. One thing is that, you know, the warehouse in Windhoek are full of these supplies, but, you know, haven't received the orders in time. You see the whole health system. So it didn't receive the orders in time and it never arrived. And the other way is also that orders for medicines and supplies are sometimes not delivered on time. So that means also from the central medical stores, a thing, you know, supplies can be delayed as well. So, but in the Rundu case, it appears that supplies are stored up, undistributed at the hospitals while patients went looking for them elsewhere. So they were told to go and look for them elsewhere while they actually are. Supplies are stored up, undistributed in the hospital. So the ministry representatives have since said they will investigate this report closely. So they insisted that according to the record, Rundu doesn't have supplies of, I mean, Rundu does have the supplies of malaria kits and bandages, and that any shortage should not be blamed on kept stocked. So whether the problem is now miscommunication, paperwork not processed, or something else in the delivery chain, so the result is the same, a loss of trust and extra work for patients and also for the staff in Rundu as well. So in a well-organized system, shortages in one area should be solved by quickly moving supplies and not by really asking patients actually to to go and buy that on a private institutions. So yeah, now when this is now the issue now, okay, that the we put, there is a financial burden actually put on patients, because when you go to the hospital, you're expected to actually to receive that services free. But when you don't find that services, what happened? You go and now and buy, you know, supplies or whatever the case may be. Because when now the public system fails to deliver, now ordinary people, you know, pick up the tab. They pick up, we pick up the tab. So several, Rundu patients, from that report, several Rundu patients reported spending their own money on what should have been free. So because what do you do? So for example, one patient, one parent, spent a 31 for you, when you think of 31.7, $31.70 for you, maybe it's nothing. So he spent that actually buying wound dressing because the hospital had none. And another family paid about 300, for a set of medicines. So a child with a broken bone needed a special anointment, not, available at the hospital. So the family was told to buy it themselves and even struggled with the cost. So these are serious things. I think what we do is to really raise this consciousness, to raise, you know, your consciousness, to understand that these are the issues. These are real issues that are happening, you know. Behind the nice rhetoric and the promises and all that, you know, the people are going, that today as we speak at this point in time, this is some of the things that people actually are going through, you know. And for many patients, these are not small amount for many families in Namibia. So medicines and test kits that are supposed to be free may end up actually costing patient tens and hundreds of dollars. So you're supposed to get this free from a public hospitals. Now you actually have to buy that, where you end up actually costing patients tens and hundreds of dollars. Yeah. The other thing is also people on, you have to understand that, people on fixed incomes, or without jobs, people without job, like pensioners or unemployed parents, you know, they are the one that actually bear this burden the most, because where do they get the money? So, and one elderly woman, for example, was told she needed a costly vaccine after a dog bite and simply could not afford it. Could not afford it. So paying out of your pocket, paying out of your pocket at a private pharmacies undermines the purpose of public health system. It really undermines the purpose of the public system. Public hospitals exist so that, especially for the poor and rural residents, medicines and care do not require extra money. So, but when patients are forced to pay, you have also to understand that when now you are forced to pay, it delays treatment, because what if you don't have money while you are scrambling to raise cash? So what happened when you don't have money? And sometimes, you know, as I said, that actually delay treatment when people don't, you know, you actually, when patients are forced to pay, it's actually a delay in treatment, because the person couldn't get actually the service that they needed, a treatment that they needed. And if they don't have money, that delay the treatment. And sometimes it make them sometimes skip the care, if you look, those health care completely altogether. Because what the person does, it just said, well, I don't have the money. You know, the person just go home. And if nobody can be able to help that person, and sometimes we have to consider really when we hear, let's say for example, now there are no malaria test kits, and it was just thought, you know, you're told there's no malaria test kits and you can't go and buy it from the private, what happened? So I think it also adds stress and uncertainty. A mother may wonder now, a mother may wonder, can I really afford this prescription, for example? So, and if they don't, that's a delayed treatment. That uncertainty is the opposite of what public health care should provide. So, yeah. And beyond the cost, there are real health danger in these delays and gaps. There's real danger. In Rundu, stories have surfaced of patients waiting in pain or going without, or sometimes waiting in pain or going actually without treatment. And we have heard, there was also another, either it was in the papers recently, where is the woman suing the hospital. He came actually feeling she was in labor and she was, you know, paining, and, you know, and the nurse just said, well, you know, I have been also there, but you know that it's your, you know, can wait and all that. Yeah. So then what happened until the child inside died? So for example, in Rundu, a child with the suspected infection had fluid extract from her spine multiple times at the hospital, but no medicine was available to actually stop her vomiting. So the procedure was eventually halted because of risk, leaving now the child unsettled and not close to diagnosis at all. So the family has no medical aid, and the child was actually referred to the CT scan. So a diagnostic scan at a private facilities in Windhoek, because the Rundu hospital CT scan was actually broken. So the private scan is quoted at 28,000. It's quoted at 28,000. So now, if this family cannot pay, which won't be able to do, it's a private scan which quoted at 28,000. So if this family cannot pay, the child's headache and symptoms will go unchecked and possibly leading to worse illness. So these are really serious matters, and that we as citizens, we as a public, should actually take account as well. There are certain things that we need to really to understand and take account of. So now, as I said, other patients with urgent needs might also face a similar stories, you know, if a wound can't be dressed properly today, what would happen? So if you go to the hospital and you have a wound, I'm just giving an example of a wound, and it can't be dressed properly today, so it might get infected by tomorrow. If malaria or other common disease go untreated due to the lack of test kits or medicine, patient may get seriously ill. And that's why we have we have a number of cases and death in the regions. So the patient definitely may get serious ill or infect others, or you may actually be in a position where you infect others as well. And this whole question of broken and unavailable equipment, because of bureaucratic, you know, processes and some of this equipment take years and years before they get repaired. So broken and an unavailable equipment like now CT scan that is broken means diagnoses are delayed or missed. You know, that means that there's no, in the hospital, as big as the state hospital is in Rundu, that means, you know, you can't be able to do some diagnosis. Or they are delayed, you know, people come and then the blood sent to Windhoek or whatever, you know, or as they ask for a patient actually to go to a private scan, in Windhoek. Facility in Windhoek, which quoted as 28,000. So, yeah. So, and one report noted that due to slow stock of anesthetic drug, the hospital could only do emergency surgeries. That was actually a report sometime last week or a week before. Yeah, last week. And it's not, it's not only in Rundu that there are several hospitals where that actually has been an issue. So hospital could only do emergency surgeries. A routine operation had to wait. So imagine a patient needing a planned surgery, for health reasons, whatever that reason may be. Delaying that surgery can turn a manageable. Now, you have to understand that once you delay that surgery, that can turn a manageable condition into a crisis. So every hour or a day of delay can mean more pain, more risk, and more money needed. More money needed later. So even for the health system, for the ministry, it's actually more money needed later. So yeah, the public health system is really about preventing such dangers, early diagnosis, prompt treatment, you know, things done quickly and follow up care. So when supplies and equipment fail, so the whole chain is broken. When that fails, the whole chain is actually broken. So, and for individual patients, this can mean suffering longer or experiencing complications that might have been avoided with timely care. So with timely care, you may definitely avoid some of those complications and long sufferings. Now, all these issues together, they also then erode, you know, which is also a very important element when it comes to this. So they also erode people's trust in public hospitals and clinic. Now, when you hear that, when Namibians hear stories that medicines are out of stock, so, and even though they are actually sitting in storerooms, they start to wonder if they can rely on the system. You started to actually wonder whether you should, you don't even sometimes think, should I go to the hospital? Because you think, I'd rather maybe go to the, how many now people actually just go directly to the pharmacy to, if they have some money to buy what they need, rather than actually go to the public, to the state hospital. So, for any service anyway, trust is built when care in case of the hospital is consistent, and accessible. So if patients have to battle the system or spend on private care each time, so they may stop actually believing the system will work for them. You stop thinking, you know, I can't go there because what's the use? Yeah, this is important because, you know, because trust, and I'm talking the issue of trust, because trust really influences, especially health, influences health outcomes. So if someone thinks that the hospital won't have what they need, they might delay going going there in the first place. So they may even not go there at all. So, and that what it means? It make many people starting actually doing tend to self-medication. And also, in issues, and especially in Kavango, in Kavango, tend to traditional remedies instead. So you see, when people now start actual self-medication, it's because they lose trust. And this is what I'm trying to point out, is they lose trust in a health system. So as I said, trust influences health outcomes. So, and in communities where diseases like malaria, TB are common, so we cannot really afford that. Likewise, when the cost and quality of care depend on whether the government systems cooperate that day, people can become discouraged. You really become discouraged. So, for example, elderly people or chronic patients wait in the long queues. Even long queues, only to be told, only to turn away. So when sometimes, you know, they are told, go and wait there to get your medicine and things like that. And these are elderly people or could be chronic patients. So they wait in the long queues, only to be turned away. Empty-handed. And in these cases, nurses are often blamed by patients, even when it is a supply issue. It might not be actually, normally nurses blamed, you know, by patient, but it's a supply issue and it's beyond the nurse's control. So this kind of things, over time, these frustrations spread through word of mouth. It spreads through the word of mouth. If a few story comes out about, you know, needing to buy your own medicines or paying thousand for a scan, and that casts a shadow over the institution, definitely. And then public confidence in healthcare is for us as it is very important understanding that the public confidence in the healthcare is very precious, because once you start actually to have less trust or confidence in the healthcare, that it becomes a disaster, seriously. And we as Namibia has made a real gains in fighting disease and improving health. We have really made, you know, real gains in fighting from an international point of view. So, and losing trust could undermine those gains. So, when I'm saying that losing trust can, because now people, when they found themselves sick, the hospital, the public hospital is not the first place they think of. Maybe self-medication is. And then in that process, we may lose these people. Instead of them actually accessing the service early, they don't have trust of the institution. So a healthy nation depends on people going to clinic early, following advice, and believing they will be cared for. When they believe that they go there and they're not going to be cared for, so that becomes a health, you know, don't want to say health crisis, but a health, problem. When trust is shaken by a repeated shortage or a delay, it is a sign that the system needs improvement. And hopefully, the new ministers and the new administration look at that seriously. So now, what does this mean, and where do we go from here? So the Rundu stories highlight bigger national issues in healthcare delivery. It does highlight that. And it's not just one hospital. It's not just about Rundu. Report of medicine shortages and supply problems have also come from other parts of the country. Even bigger cities like Windhoek. Windhoek have had clinic running low on drugs. And where the central store, the central medical store is just in Windhoek. So the Minister of Health says it takes this claim seriously and is investigating. So officials have promised to look into the coordination problems and hold anyone accountable, which should be. And you will never hear anybody hold everyone accountable if stocks was mismanaged, you know, and that is an important step. And transparency and quick fixes are needed. We need that, and we need to see that. So if you want to create that confidence and trust in the public. Yeah. Well, for now, the immediate effects with patients, out-of-pocket spending, delayed treatment and worry, we all have a stake in fixing these problems. A public health system works. Let's go for a break and we come back.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
All right, welcome back. And what is your take of these stories, of this story from Rundu State Hospital? And this is not, I mean, now we generalize this, and this is not only something that is actually happening. It's not only something that is happening in Rundu, but it's also something that happening in other hospitals. I said last week there was already a report that indicated that, you know, it was in Kiert Mansour, but it was also in Windhoek. There was also another place, four places were mentioned. Where surgeries, emergency, you know, where only surgery, emergency surgeries, where they were the only one that conducted other routine surgeries and other, you know, had put on hold because of anesthetic and other anesthetic drugs that are not available, and also other medical supplies that limit the doctors and or health workers to operate, so because of limitation. So, and we have seen from the stories that it could be the process. Sometimes, what we have seen from in Rundu, so this medications and other supplies are still available. So are available. You know, are available in the storeroom, but, you know, people are told to go and buy that in the hospitals and all that. Are told to go and buy that at the private pharmacies, while actually there are stocks in their own storerooms. So, and the problem is within the logistic as well, logistic process within the ministry itself. So there could be delay in supplying, and there could be also delay in ordering, and, you know, all that. Who in the end suffers is actually, you know, the patient. So you're most welcome to come through and have your say and your comment on this topic. And it's very important for us.
Welcome to Amping the Day.
Good morning, mate. How are you?
I'm fine, yourself?
I'm good.
Mm.
This is Killian calling from Katima.
Yeah.
Mike, when you are talking about hospitals and the trust that we as Namibians are having now, is I just want to reach you on the point of what happened between mom when she was still struggling for her life.
Mm.
Yeah, may her soul rest in peace. Yeah.
Oh, she passed on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, Mike. Mom was in the hospital for a month.
Yeah.
Now, when she was in the hospital for a month, she's admitted there. It will take 2 days.
Mm.
She's discharged. Then immediately they are discharging her. We have to take her back to the hospital in the evening, and she's admitted again. So it happened like she was not she was in lack of blood.
Mm.
So this doctor who came in the morning, that was, I remember, because she passed on the 2nd of December last year.
Yeah.
So before that, this doctor who came in came to realize that mom doesn't have blood. So she had to take, she had to put a drip of blood. Then this other doctor, when he came in around 11, he's saying, no, this person is having blood.
Mm.
So we have to remove this because the level of blood should be, I don't know what you were talking about, 6 liters, somewhere there, 6 liters, that's lower, and 12 liters, somewhere there, I don't remember very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that happened. So when I had to listen to the two doctors, now they are contradicting. The other one is saying she doesn't have blood.
Yeah.
The other one is saying she has blood. So the drip is no more called in.
Yeah.
I tried to call Ben Nangombe. That's Dr. Ben Nangombe is the director, isn't it?
Yeah, at that time. Yeah.
I tried to call his office like, no, I have mom who's been struggling for almost a month now, but nothing is happening because even at the hospital itself,
yeah,
mom, we are trying to come in and ask mom, what is happening here? Are they treating you? Are they attending to you? But all she's saying is, no, I don't see nurses. Even when I'm struggling to tend, when I'm struggling to help myself, I don't see any around me. So
yeah.
Mm. I need one of you from my kids, at least somebody who should be coming in, so that when I need one, I'll either tell you, give me this, help me help myself,
mm,
like that.
But yeah,
nothing worked out since I told I was even asking for a referral, like, because if now you are talking about Rundu, because yeah, Rundu, we depend on Rundu currently,
yeah,
Atima.
Mm.
Referral is Rundu. So if you are talking about the layments in Rundu now, how are we going to trust the healthy in Namibia at large?
Exactly, yeah.
So that really triggered a lot of mindsets that are not even good enough. Because mm, as I'm speaking to you now, I don't think I can be able to send my child or myself to the state hospital, because I already know the contradictions that went through, that were there,
yeah,
before I'm going there.
Yeah.
And something else, how can you have a hospital, Mike, that can only provide Panadol and paracetamol and amoxicillin,
mm,
and nothing else?
That's an issue.
Very worrisome.
Yeah. And even, you know, you know the debate that was going on in the parliament as well, where the minister is actually motivating an allocation of certain money, of certain amount of budget to go to digitalizing the health system. And there were some lawmakers that really saying, why do you actually have to spend, what is the need of digitalizing the, which is actually something we need to do, but there are more urgent things like, you know, when these hospitals have no medicines, they have no staff, even staff, you know.
Oh, we lost that one. All right. How would I say it? That's sad to hear, guys. It's really sad to hear. You know, someone lost, you know, his or her mom, due to just delays, incompetence in terms of sometimes the blame goes to, let's say, for example, people in Katima, the nurses and everybody, but sometimes when they don't have the means, then it definitely becomes a problem. So, yeah, I even got, this is actually got it from Dr. Kakuyaha Matuntu, where he told me that. So for serious pain drugs, drugs such as opioids for cancers, etc., are always not stocked in Windhoek. This is now in Windhoek that we're talking about. So sad. Government should do away with tenders and procure directly, you know, rather than should go away with tenders and procure directly. So, yeah. So these are, as these are really serious. As I said, when you hear somebody say they lost their loved one due to negligence, sometimes negligence and delays and all that. And sometimes, as I said, you know, you have to understand this. We're looking at the health system itself rather than actually sometimes particularly the people, let's say, for example, the staff in Katima or Rundu or something, because sometimes they really, if they don't have enough, if you have a shortage of staff, you can't be able to do everything. And we have nurses that are on street. We have nurses that are on street. A lot of nurses that are on street. But we still have shortages of nurses in our hospitals. Sometimes it's mind blowing. You really just don't know what to say. You don't know what to think. You don't know what to say or what to think. So it's mind-blowing sometimes. And as I said, the biggest problem, it becomes the biggest problem when...
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't know what went wrong.
Okay,
sorry,
I think...
Sorry. Yeah. And the other thing, because I've missed a lot, I think.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to reach out to is, because I remember last year, that was last year, I raised this point as well. You know, you find that at the hospital, when you are there, Mike.
Yeah.
You'll find that the hospital does not have porters at all. Because that job's supposed to be done by somebody who's fully qualified to do that job, because I can't carry a patient from ward to ward while I don't know how to handle a patient.
Exactly, yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So I reached out to the matron at the Katima Mlilo Hospital. I raised all these issues. It was early in the morning. I raised, no, this is painful because we are going through this, but yet you are having this state hospital. It's as big as this.
Yeah.
But you don't have one who can be helping, even first aid. Let's talk about first aid, even. Because if you're talking about people waiting in pain, why don't you have nurses who can do first aid while they are still waiting in the queue?
Yeah.
yeah, there are those who are deep in pain, but you don't know. So maybe that person needs just paracetamol to calm the pain.
Yeah.
But you won't find nurses like that.
Yeah, like go through the queue and find out who are the most really, who are more severe than others.
Even getting temperatures of their bodies will even lead you to go through them. You follow the queue, like, you have to know, like, this temperature is high, this one. Rather than sitting there, you are waiting, patients are coming.
Yeah.
Yet you don't know what is happening outside at OPD. Because OPD is where there's a chaos always.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people will be coming there like, let me talk about those with money. They'll just come in. It doesn't care whether you are in the queue or not. You'll just go there up front, give his card.
Yeah.
Done, and you see?
And probably popularly known or publicly known. So
you see that?
Mm. So
at least if we try to work on some of these, we don't say our healthy sector is not correct.
Yeah,
it is correct, but all we need is invigilation.
Yeah.
Like you need to invigilate those that are at work. You need to know what they are doing, if they are doing it correctly or they are just there on their phones.
Yeah.
If I'm telling you now, Mike, you come to Katima Mleo Hospital, daytime, evening, it's, you won't even know that these people are at work or they are just here to kill time and get paid end of the month.
Yeah, and sometimes it's the leaders that are there, the superintendent that are in charge there. They should be the example and the role model. And if they are not, that's what you get. Yeah.
See.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, man, because then it adds some value to what we're talking about.
So thank you very much, Mike.
All right.
Welcome.
Yeah. So please. Sometimes I don't even know what to say.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good.
Yeah, speak up a little bit, no?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm clear. All right. The medicine.
You're a little bit far for some reason.
Medicine is there, or the medicine is not there. What I heard you most, you were saying that before it's covering that that's an expensive and don't what fatigue, whatever.
Yeah.
But you were saying they discovered the expensive, it was not there, then they discovered that they think there was something in store.
Say that again?
I'm saying what you were saying.
Yeah.
Were you saying that an expensive, whatever, for operation, the one they put you through?
The anesthetic where there were several hospitals that were run out of drugs.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do other routine operations because the anesthetic was there. They only now wait for other emergency. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a report, I think, last week. I think it was in the Namibian. Yeah.
It was in stock, or somewhere in the
store. In Rundu, the people, like, you have people come to the hospitals, and they were told, well, we don't have even malaria kit. We don't have malaria kit in the hospitals. But later on, I think the newspaper even went to the hospital because they show even the picture. But those test kits, the bandages, or things they were asked to go and buy, were actually available in the storeroom of the hospitals. So they were, the stuff were stocked, but the people were asked to go and buy from the private pharmacies.
The media went there, and then they went to the supervisors or whoever, the administrators or the leadership, and that those what actions are they promising to take? So those people did that. Because look, sometimes we do these things deliberately. And people, they still think the same administration, the other administration, the way they used to do things, like, you know,
Yeah.
People were just misusing things, and they were promoting, because you know, my brother or my sister or I myself, our MFA, but we are teamed up, eh? We have got like a business there, which is like a pharmacy.
Yeah.
So we are sending our people to that pharmacy as customers. And then you come out, if you have it here, then what actions? Because we cannot just blame the government. Actions must be taken.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. No, definitely. And sometimes...
So what actions are they planning to take against those people? Because we should maybe calculate how many people went in to buy those medicines from those pharmacies.
Yeah.
Those people must be called to come and test, okay, these are the operations we conducted within spirit, these are the people who bought. Then, those people who were sending the patients to the pharmacies must refund the patients.
Yeah.
That must prevail. The next time, they won't do it.
If
I do it, and the medicine is there, I'll put the bill of that patient.
Mm.
Yes. Because also punishing them, taking them out of work, whatever, leaving or giving them warnings, it won't help. The solution should be simple. They should account. They should pay back the money of those people who have lost their money because they were misled.
Yeah.
Everything should come with a consequence. That next time you don't do it, because you know, the same thing you did to the other person, because you were promoting your business, we don't know whether it's your business or it's your business. We don't know. Or what they are saying, the same way you send you, because you have access to the medicine, and you knew it was there. You did not inspect, because it's the same thing you send the kid that, look for me, the key is for the car. And then it says, no, where is the key? So like, I sent you to go look for the key in the house, and you don't find the key, you are coming to me. And you go, you find that the key is just at the table. You know, what happens to that kid? You slap the kid one point or the other to discipline them. No, next time when I'm sending, I send you, go and look before you come and report that it's not there.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my request, I think, to the administration, if it was the superintendent who was doing it, the patient, the juniors must speak, because you can't be a Jesus to die for another person's sins. We are humans. Jesus died for us, so we cannot die for others. So what they did, definitely. So what they have to do, they have to follow up. Those patients, they should go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And demand the refunds. They should just get their invoices because the medicine they bought,
yeah,
which they were not supposed to buy. Because these are the same people who are, you see, when you are in the state, you are trying to tarnish the name of the government.
Mm. But you know so how.
I even thought that no. Maybe the last administration, because of this tender thing, which is going on, and they, you know. And then the medicine was bought, it was there, lying. Mm. Last time, I think in the parliament, one of the member of parliament was saying, we are saying there was no medicine, but we went and threw the medicine, where? At here, at the dumping site here, where they went and paint it.
Yeah.
You know? Something we did when we were given those COVID things, but then I wasn't a supporter of those things. But, you know, people, they used medicine to sell. Nurses and doctors sometimes, they are the culprits. They sell. They cannot review.
Yeah.
If we start investigating, we discover that people pay for something they were not supposed to pay for. But because you have no choice, you are desperate, you need help, you have to put the bill. But then if somebody is putting financial constraint on you, the government, the people must, I plead to the government that the government must just those people to pay back the money.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
And the other thing I think is on food security. You know, I think we have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know how far. I understand the new administration now, but I think the time is now. Like this, there should be crops we should plant for this. At least let's Minister of Agriculture must be.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that the other day, some other day. Yeah, on the food security. Yeah.
All right.
Mm. All right. So you're most welcome to come through as well and have your say on our topic this morning, which is very concerning, really. And it's not only for the Rundu Hospital. This is happening across the country. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Dad Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself, man?
I'm okay.
Yeah, so welcome.
Yeah, you guys today were talking about health.
Yeah, we were looking at the situation that happened in Rundu, where people were told to go and buy medical supplies. Some people comes for malaria cases, and they were told there's no malaria kits for to treat and all that. And while all the supplies were actually in the storeroom, in the hospitals. So while people are actually told to go and buy, yeah. So and we talk about the delays of supplies and also the whole process of ordering. Sometimes supplies are available in the country, but in a specific hospitals because they delay because of the delay in ordering or so that there are all these issues of shortage of staff, medicines and all that, contributing to how, you know, it's really contributing to a whole question of, sometime we have people, and there was someone who came on that his mother died just because of, sometime delayed service and supplies.
Michael, if I'm telling you, the situation which is in the hostel, this is, somebody's supposed to be hold the accountability for that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes these people are just not doing their job properly. If you are trained as a health professional, why should you endanger somebody's life while you are being taught or the colon and colon about to protect the somebody's life?
Yeah.
Because if you like, I can give you an example. Me, this is what happened to me also with my mom recently. Because there was a shortage of medicine for high blood pressure in all of us in the north.
Yeah.
Then we have to even to procure from window to send it.
Yeah.
Just imagine. Even a private hospital, they will tell you that they are not allowed unless it was for yourself.
Mm.
But if you are buying for your mom, it's not allowed. Just imagine.
Yeah.
In this situation where we find ourselves. And now, my mom, she went to Hengra Hospital. And just meeting without even so the only put what how can I put an candle all on me.
Yeah.
Once upon a time and she removed it herself. From there, they never attempted anything. Then I even went to request the doctor was there in present. Can I transfer my mom to private hospital in Mwetiva?
Yeah.
They say yes, it's up to you because we are not allowed. Okay, and then I called the attempt to get a local ambulance. But the one which I got recently, it was like, they don't have an oxygen. And now I go, can you guys give us at least that thing for just for transport? And so now we cannot. They have to come with their own kit and whatever.
Hmm.
I'm telling you, in that process, we end up losing it.
Exactly. You see?
That's what happened.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Mike, it's very sad story.
Yeah.
When we are having people... we see they are tendering for million for our lives, and they are delaying the medicine we're supposed to take care of our elderly.
Yeah, and actually, I think it's about time. And for example, what you're exactly just saying, you know, if you can, it's about time that institution like the hospitals can be taken to court. Really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very much.
It's about
because
time.
Some of us, we have very inheritance already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the witnesses are there. Because when I call this doctor, my relatives are there, and I'm calling for me to talk to the doctor. And even the ambulance which I went to appoint to take my mom. The evidence are there. But serious, I'm telling you, Mike, The problem, I think, we have in this country is that when you start attempting with our lives,
yeah,
that is where I'm saying they are getting wrong.
Mm. There are a lot
we
of people...
are not supposed to tender at the medicine at all because we have experts who are working already in hospital.
Mm.
Why should the hospital not proclaim themselves?
Yeah, this is exactly what Dr. Matundu just actually asked him as me, telling me that. So the sad thing is the government should do away with tenders and procure directly.
Yeah, themselves.
Yeah.
If they don't have enough experts, then they can... They can go and look for the strength. People can be trained to do that.
Yeah.
Instead of for you to go and what, waiting for somebody, people are fighting for tenders. And we here, we are losing our people. It's very sad,
yeah.
Seriously.
I think
that since we have a new ministry in that department, tenders might just stop completely.
Yeah.
Then the supplier, supplying the water directly to the water ministry of health.
And sometimes, you know, what it's just at central medical center, central medical centers. This is where they actually the hospitals actually orders their stuff. And sometimes it's just a delay in order. Someone didn't order in time.
On time.
And it's just because they don't have that that conscious.
Yeah.
Absent of this is life. This is about life of people. You understand? This is about life of the people.
Do you remember the other time I'm telling you that you go to clinic, then you go maybe around 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock a.m. Then you wait, you come from again back when you if you get help, it will be around 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Just imagine 5 a.m. to 7 p.m.
There's a quick commercial coming up. No? Just hold on here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it.
Easy money.
Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto Cash, it's that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, what I was saying, Mike, how can we have a nurse going at the same time at the lunch time?
Yeah.
All of them, instead of rotation. Some they can stay with the patient, but they are all going to lunch.
Yeah.
And all of them. And you never see, how can you have a service delivery if you are having people going at the same time at the break? Thanks.
And you cannot, and the irony is that you cannot complain about shortage of staff while you have nurses in the street.
In the street, my friend.
You have nurses in the street. So why don't you employ the nurses that are on the street?
Exactly. Eh? And you are telling me you are having a shortage.
Shortage of staff.
People need, it's what I was telling them that people need to be start fired on the spot. Once you mess up, you are supposed to, you know that you are running out of stock, but you are not ordering on time.
Yeah.
Then you need to go, my friend. Because you can totally realize that you wait until you get to run out of your meal at home.
Yeah. Well, then you just go. There are areas.
The time you're putting in the pot, this is the time you're realizing that, oh, I need to go learn to go to Woman Brook. And the Woman Brook is already close that time to buy what? A major meal.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
Exactly.
You already know that, you know, we are running out of salt. Let me buy the salt before the other one finish.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like that, the way we learn our home.
Yeah. Even different because, you know, you can delay ordering my, what a printer, what is it? Cartridge, for example.
Yeah.
You can delay ordering my print cartridge. It won't make any difference. It would make that I should have been having it and be able to print quickly. But this is about, if you delay
a delay. Imagine now, just Mandume, imagine a chronic, an elderly woman or a chronic patient who, as you said, he's in line from 1 up to 5 o'clock just to get there, and you are told, in the now the hospital pharmacy, you are told there are no medicines.
There's no medicine, yeah.
So, what
now
does,
we have to go around everywhere.
What, say, for example, you don't have money now to go and buy from the private.
You don't have money.
What does it mean? That's a death sentence.
Exactly. And it's what is happening to our people in the north.
That's exactly said, you know, go home with your sickness.
Go and die.
There's nothing we can do for you.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it's saying. Yeah?
It is. It's very sad.
It is sad.
Very, very, very much.
And as I said, if anything would happen to this, I need to find a way to learn to teach people how to complain. Seriously.
I'm telling you.
We need to start actually, and this is what I said, it's my mission now for people to take accountable whoever, wherever, whatever service that being delivered, make sure that as a citizen, as a customer, as a what, hold people accountable for the service that they provide.
Very much. And Mike, seriously speaking, sometimes I think even the matron, the person who's in charge of us.
Superintendent or matron,
superintendent, whatever those are.
Mm.
They need to be accounted for any life lost seriously during the hospital.
Investigation. There must be on a police side, dedicated department. Actually, look, do in any death investigate. There should be some kind of investigation.
Very much.
Because there's a lot of people dying in hospitals, or even dying at home because of negligence. Exactly what we said.
What they are getting from the hospital.
Yeah.
Just imagine the way I'm telling you that we went there. Things they cannot help. They cannot help us at all. And when you look at this family, like the people who don't have any meaning of at all, they lost their parent already because they cannot procure medicine at all in Wendo to send it to their loved one.
In Rundu, the story that I was following now, there was this a child who now needed actually a CT scan. Rundu one, this is diagnostic scan. So the Rundu one now, it's broken. And they're saying you must go and get a private facilities in Windhoek because the Rundu one is actually broken. And the private scan is quoted at 28,000.
Just imagine, who's going to pay that money? So, who is going to pay it?
What are you saying to these people? You just said, go home and die. If this leads you to death, just go home. We can't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah? That's exactly what you're saying.
I'm telling you. And it's very sad when you are seeing these millions are going to people who are proclaiming. And my friend, it's what I'm saying. Let us get away with the tenders when it comes to our life of our people.
Mm-hmm.
Let us be serious once for all. Because you cannot tell me. I'm telling you now, in Angola, there's even a woman who lost his kid.
Yeah.
His baby.
His baby.
He lost his baby. And in the greatest of the hostel staff.
Yeah.
And up to now, they are still doing the same. To somebody else who is not going to complain.
As I said, while they're going on with the rhetoric, and all that, this is happening today as we speak. You know, we have people turned away without medicines. It's happening right now. You know,
I'm telling you,
but they're going on with some of those rhetoric about you know that things should not be usual as usual. And we jump on that while we still have actually people who are actually going through this experience right now.
I'm telling you, Mike, it is happening.
Nah.
And it's a hard time also to present to come to order. I mean, we don't need any more tenders in the hospital at all. Not at all. Seriously, we must get away with the tenders. Because this thing is really causing, even just meeting the budget which we are getting, is supposed to be catering for all Namibian. We're supposed to have even a best equipment in the hospital. The money, if you look at the budget, But you got to tell me, friend, you look catastrophic. The face who is going to greet you is a kid, the cat running around. Yeah. And later on, if you are admitted, the mouse are coming to eat up your food. Just imagine you're already in your dying bed, and the mouse is approaching you, cannot move. Come on, man.
We have a problem of maintenance. Even sometimes when you hear the government buy this equipment and all that, I tell you, once anything's happened, it's there for years. It takes years and years before either it's repaired or replaced or something.
Yeah. They have to wait until it's broken for them to repair.
Yeah.
And it's not supposed to be that you have to service it. You have to service the machine before anything. Everything has to be maintained. But for us, we don't maintain. We waited until we learn out of the last toilet. Then we try to fix them all.
Let's hear what others have to say. Yeah.
All right, my brother.
All right, thank you for coming through. Yeah?
Sure.
All right. A very good morning to you. Are we talking about health matters? Yeah, and sometimes you get really, really mad, you know? Yeah, this is something sometimes that really get me mad. Yeah, so, Igor FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man, yourself?
Fine, hey, like I'm through today, since last year. I'm serious, people wish you put limit time, man, at least 10 minutes per person is better.
Yeah, no, sometimes you have people coming through, sometimes, you know, you don't have much, and, you know, I understand.
No, it's fine. You see, look, to refer a person to a private pharmacy is not a problem.
Yeah.
Let the government pay for it. You understand? If you say there's no medication in the hospital, and you refer me to a private pharmacy, then it means that bill should be directed to the Minister of Health.
That's a good point.
Do you understand? Simple as that. Because if you tell me to go and buy, with what? Why I came to a public hospital is because I can't afford to go to private hospital. You see? Let it be understood, and those people must know that if I am told to go to a private pharmacy, whether for a scan or what, the doctor should sign the whoever to say that the bill should be directed to the Minister of Health, and they will pay that medication. That's it. Then we will be happy.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You see? Yeah. Secondly, you see, sometimes it's also the policies in place. You see, okay, let us see the scenario of Rundu. Not only Rundu.
Yeah.
Countrywide.
Yeah, exactly.
If you say that, no, there is no medication. Okay? They know who told those people, like who was on duty. They know. You see? And who went to find out that, no, there are medication, the person was lying. Now, that person should be held accountable.
Yeah.
But you will never hear it. Maybe you see sometimes also, maybe that person was right. Because she's maybe a student nurse or whatever. Yeah, they will just say, no, she's right. But they just went there with the newspapers or media to say, no, here, the medication and so on. They can also defend themselves.
Of course, yeah.
Maybe definitely. The person was right, you see. And that is not only medication. Look at even at schools and food relief, you see. Drought relief. You might find out that the food got rotten in a warehouse while people are dying for hunger.
Yeah.
You see, but who was held accountable? Who? You see?
And those are the things, especially, I'm glad that the new administration actually focused on accountability. But one thing I also want is that we as citizens, actually, we need to rise up and hold whoever provide any services accountable for the service that they need to provide.
That's what I'm saying. If the Ministry of Health, the minister now, the new minister, this one,
yeah,
you see, she was so quick to talk about people should not take lunch like nurses. But I don't know whether she visited the hospital to see the hygiene in the hospital, you see, the queues in the hospital, the medication. She never went there, you see? You see, because you just talking from a distance. Go in the hospital, like in the room, she's supposed to be there herself, you see? To see who was lying, whether the student nurse, don't tell them even the date.
Yeah.
You see, just go this suddenly, then you can confirm that who was lying. You see? And this story of using student nurses, You see, those young men and women are so exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are the ones being used today, while those who are getting paid or salary are just relaxing on the phones.
And exactly, there are a lot, even there are nurses now, they're using those who come into practice, but there are nurses who are actually finished, who are on the street.
Yes, you see, yeah, you see, that is the thing, because they saw a gap, you see, now, instead of them recruiting, they are using these young nurses, these student nurses to take BP and so on.
Exactly.
While it was, should have been done by someone who graduated, who's supposed to be employed. That is the thing what she could have looked at. Sometimes these phrases and words and whatever, I don't even buy to it.
No, that's what I said. I don't buy rhetoric. Yes, while the situation as we speak now, we have queues in the hospitals. If you go there, you find queues and shortage of staff in some clinics. You have only one or two. Huh?
I will give you an example of Swakopmund. This Mondesa clinic burned when last year, up to now, and those things, and all the people should go and queue up at Tamariskia clinic.
Yeah.
Because if you go to a state hospital, you will be referred back to a clinic, to the clinic. You see? Just for them to renovate this one. Simple.
Mm.
You see, the money is there that the current minister never visited, because that's what she could have checked first, to say, okay, how many health facilities do we have now? You see? What are the backlog? Why are people complaining?
Yeah.
You're supposed to look in that one. Not talking about time and so on.
Mm. Eh?
That will come if you say, okay, there are hospitals, the medication is there, everything is in place. Now work. If a nurse tell you that, okay, I can sit here, but look, come in the storeroom, there is no medication. What? Who will you blame?
Me, myself,
it's not to talk about someone. I went to Swakopmund Hospital on emergency. There was nothing. Those people say, look here, there is nothing. I'm telling you, it's not a joke.
Yeah.
There was no medication.
No, especially in clinics, there is absolutely nothing.
There is nothing.
Yeah.
You see? Yeah, there is nothing. You cannot just say no, those people, but there is nothing, seriously. And the thing also, some of the doctors, most of them, I can say most of them, are having their, private practice.
Yeah.
How do you want that person to perform duty or to care about people at government hospital while he have people with millions or millions waiting for him there?
Exactly.
You see? Yeah, he will just refer that one. Here he will just even say, "What? How do you feel? Do without proper examination."
Yeah.
Because there people are waiting for him and private this money. Why can't you just employ those people and say, look, you are just medical doctor here 24/7.
Yeah, they come about 9 o'clock in the morning, and in the afternoon they go to their private.
No, they're supposed to be like nurses. Doctors must also rotate 24/7. Not to wait for a doctor at 9 o'clock from there. The queue is maybe 200 people waiting for him.
Yeah, that's why people now in the afternoon, they may actually go without. There will be only one or two doctors, you know?
Imagine.
And there are queues of people who are actually, you know, needing the doctors.
Yes. And I think, look, every suburb, I think, maybe, should have its own clinic running or health center.
Yeah.
You see, but if you just leave people to go and take it, and you can just say, here is for dressing, this one is for people, pregnancy women, this one is for children from 15 down, this one is for elderly. You must know that if I go to this clinic, it's only for elders and physical challenged people. You see? Yeah, then this one is just for maternity. This one is for dressing. It must be a clinic. There must be even three different.
Yeah.
Then I know that I cannot just go and queue up from there while I'm just going for dressing. Eh? I must waste maybe 5 hours just for dressing. I supposed to know that if I go for dressing, what is the use for me to be taken BP? You see? Eh? I must just go straight. Dressing, then I'm gone.
Yeah.
Seriously,
the other thing about the ministry, I'm really not doubting her. As the minister, I'm not doubting her skills and knowledge and experience. But sometimes when you're young and you're working with really old people who have been in the system, you know, you say what you have to say when you're gone. They will say, what do you know? You know, they go back far from what they used to do. So if you have some kind of a person who have a little bit of a stature in terms of being, I'm not saying she's not mature, I'm just feel that she's young and with a ministry like that, need someone who have a little bit of, has grown into the system a little bit and also grown to, because there are a lot of nurses and doctors that are older, you understand?
Yeah.
And when you talk to them, even if you're really good at what you do, but when your stature, it doesn't insert authority, if you like.
Yeah, Mike, you see, when we talk about experience, it's not only papers and work experience. Experience also. If you went through that, maybe you were sick, you were having, you see, terrible, the way you went through it. You see, those are the things which will also give you that patience to say that, okay, yeah, let me help this person because I went through this system also.
Exactly.
You see, not only those with papers, with degrees, and no, that person just grew up in Klein Coupe, went to a private hospital, well treated. Do you think that person has that patient who says, even if you sit there, she does not have that background. How does it feel for a person to sit from 6 to 7
yeah.
p.m.? Let us also take those people in the hospital, or this, even a matron, supposed to be from that background.
Yeah.
Well, why do you interview people? It's just for that reason. For them to tell you their background also, where they are coming from and so on. At least it will touch you to say that, okay, this person, look at like Dr. Ndumedem. You see?
Yeah.
If you give that one, let me say, that ministry to run it, I am telling you straight.
Exactly.
Because that person knows exactly what is humanity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she went through all those odds. She went through that. Yeah? Even if you come to say that this is Minister of Labor, take someone who went through that. You see, that's why even when it was under Toiwe Atoiwe, the late, you see, at least because that man was a mine worker, physically, yeah, he was holding a shovel.
Mm.
You see, he know what is labor. Exactly. He understand the pain of being a laborer.
Yeah.
That's what at least we have the Labor Act, which spoke to the suffering of the people. But now, if 2007, and this one who came here doesn't even know where to start. You see?
Yeah.
Those are the things what the president should also look at. The background and someone's experience, physical experience. Does this person understand what does it take to become to have this ministry?
It's a very important ministry. I just feel that I have no problem with her of her experience and qualifications, but I just felt that you needed someone that a little bit, you know, has been in the system, understand it in and out, because it's one of the biggest ministry and very important ministry.
Yeah, there's an experienced someone how to harvest food, you see?
Nah.
And how to cook it and how to serve it. You see now?
Yeah.
But if you just take someone who doesn't know how mahangu, the system of harvesting mahangu or whatever, just the person knows how to cook, that person can waste.
Yeah.
Or just to eat. That person can, she can have experience in cooking. But you understand also the background.
Mm.
You see how that food came to the table.
Yeah.
Or came in the house. Those are the things how our parents nurtured us to say that, okay, you must understand. Starting from plowing, you see, cultivating, everything, until you go and pound, from there is when you eat.
Yeah.
That's the system itself supposed to be like that. Groom a person, maybe he was a nurse, she or he was a nurse, from there became whatever. At least put that person in that position, because that person will understand when you talk about that. But someone just from wherever, universities, graduate, and you say, okay, fine, okay, maybe. But sometimes you must also look at, even the deputy, make the deputy now, someone like that, you see? This one can be from that academic requirement only, but the deputy or the ED should also understand, you see, the background of how does it feel for someone to sit in a queue while sick for 12 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe someone lost the mom, the sister, and father through that system. That person will understand, because that thing will keep on rotating in his mind, reminding him, my friend, you remember how your father passed on. You remember how your family passed on.
Yeah.
You see, once you tell that, it will remind him, and that person will just start crying. Eh? Not this who just watch Rwanda, whatever Hotel Rwanda on TV. No. Eh? It's like...
yeah.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
No, thanks for coming, Truman.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
A very good morning to you. Our time is 6 minutes past the hour of 9. And we're talking health matter. You're most welcome to come and have your opinion as well. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning.
Morning, Phil.
Yes.
Can you hear me well?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You were breaking up a little bit. Yeah, you go ahead.
Oh, awesome. How are we doing today? We're speaking about the Ministry of Health.
Yep, yeah.
Mr. Oshoveli, you touched on something very interesting.
Yeah.
Age, experience, versus the veterans that are working under you.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to such things, I think we just need to have a mindset change. Because at the end of the day, Mr. Oshavelli, no matter how young you are,
yeah.
I'm going to give you that position of respect.
Mm, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I must give you that position of respect that, look, I might be older than you, but this role has been given to you because it has been entrusted unto you.
Yeah.
Because we have been demanding for young people to get into government, to take up the leadership role, and we've been promising them that they are the future.
Yeah.
Now, I'll also trust them with the fact that they are able to lead. Because if you look at this particular the minister, she is, I think, of her credentials, she tops all the ministers.
Mm.
If you look at her credentials.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we just need to make sure that we give her the respect and we give her the support.
Yeah.
And we must also understand that those that are elder, they must understand that she is their daughter at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because she is one of us, so we need to support her at the end of the day.
Yeah. I understand exactly what you're saying. And that's what she should be. But you know, human tendency and the human, you know, attitude. Yeah, do you understand? And normally when we have a failure in implementations, sometimes it comes to that, you know, and understanding that, would also, help you to make a right decisions, so that, you know, because sometimes it hasn't to be, and I agree with you, and I definitely agree with you. So it hasn't, you know, it, sometimes you have to look at, okay, it's not just about a person. It's about making sure that this need to be done effectively, you know, and I have to take out all other, you know, in things that may actually inhibit that this actually happen. It's implemented effectively. So you understand what I'm trying to say?
No, I understand what you're saying, that a culture of our behavior and attitude is difficult to change.
Yeah.
When
exactly.
It comes to human beings.
Yeah.
So the thing is this, we must understand, let's look at the thing as, the whole ministry, let's not look at it as, it's Luvinduva who's leading it, but let's look at it that this is our own.
Yeah.
And it's a national thing, and let's see how we can support it, because we are easy to complain about things that are not working, but we stand on the sideline and not do anything to help it, work at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I think, right now, most of the people, countries that are actually going forward is because they support their own.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, I think let's get away from that mentality of undermining our own and believing that somebody else should have done it better. Because if there was somebody who was elder, we'll say that, no, but this person is elder. What is it they put someone younger there?
Yeah.
They put someone younger there. They don't have the proper experience.
Yeah.
So, but the experience sometimes is gained through experiential learning. Let's just understand that she has the right credential. Her track record is basically speaking for her. Let's see how we can support her. So, and when it comes to poor service delivery, when it comes to the Ministry of Health, let's see where is the root cause at the end of the day.
Mm.
We need a lot of clinics in Katutura, not only in Katutura, but in all over the country.
Yeah.
I came in from a village where people have actually come together, put together cement and bought everything, all the materials to build their own community clinic.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I think we need to decentralize, most of these,
services.
Look at Van Einde. I went to Van Einde clinic. I came there around 7 o'clock. The only time I was assisted, it was around 5 o'clock. It was actually 5:30.
Mm.
And by that time, there was no medication. I had to go to this private pharmacy just by Oshakati service.
Mm.
So that's why I needed to go and buy the medication. So at the end of the day, you have that particular clinic. And how many people are going there? Because that's the only clinic there. The next one, it's Hakaana clinic.
Yeah.
So, and when you look at that population, just within that area alone, Van Aenda, Koriaha, Greenwell, Havana, you put all those type of those locations, and you look at the population.
Mm.
These clinics will not be able to serve all these people at the end of the day. Now, just across Kayak,
they were building a project of a hospital, a new Katutura hospital.
Yeah.
So what happened to that government project at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Why was it thrown off the what?
So those are questions we need to ask. Yeah. Mm.
Those are the questions that we need to ask. And lastly, also when it comes to delivery, I've experienced it by visiting people.
Yeah.
In Katutura Hospital, and I was very much happy, satisfied, especially with the young nurses,
yeah,
and their attitude. The biggest problem, Mr. Oshavelli, is our veteran nurses.
Exactly.
Those are the biggest problem.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the young new graduates, their attitude, I was even surprised that the person I went to visit, they were getting the same service that you're supposed to get in what? Mm. In your private hospital.
Yeah.
She even come, is your bed sheets okay? Can I change your bed sheets?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need this? Do you need that? And to tell the truth, I was completely shocked. And to tell the truth, once you give those type of services at the end of the day, it changes also the person's state of mind who's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And if you are changing their state of mind to a better one, it's easy for them to recover and be exactly. Just quickly.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. So our problem, I think we need to start to teach the veterans one. And it's difficult to teach an old dog new tricks because even if you teach them, they are used to what they know. And as you said, you mentioned something which you call the founder's disease.
Yeah.
I've been here for so many years. Who are you to come and tell me?
Mm.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. And some he thinks it's about 2 years for me to get pensions or 3 years. They're only thinking of that. They're not in the service anymore, you know? And the passion is worn out.
the passion is worn out.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of attitude. And there's a particular person that I'm going to mention on this radio. Her name is Dr. Ngarangombe at the Windhoek Central Hospital.
Yeah.
A very young doctor, but to tell the truth, the way she assists people, I was very much mesmerized by the way she assisted, that I saw her assisting people. And to tell the truth, I think these young people have the passion and the energy to do so.
Yeah.
I think, let's just give them a chance. Yeah. Let me not wiggle my tongue for too long.
Yeah.
Let me give a chance to others.
Yeah. No, thanks for coming through and for your contribution.
All right. Bye. All right.
Mm. Yeah, our time is about 15 minutes past the hour of 9, and we go up to 9:30 on this show. Yeah, the very serious questions, the very, 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 very serious questions, you know, what does it mean? Think about it, you know, if you come to a clinic and then you are told we don't have medicine here. Okay, you come to the clinic, and then they told you we don't have medicines, and now you have to go and buy. What if, let's say for example, what if you don't have money? You don't have money now to go and buy those medicines that you have been prescribed. What does it mean? Eh? It mean go home and. Whatever, whatever you're suffering from, it's actually literally that means go home and die. Basically, that's what it means. And I think that's something that we need to look at it very, very, very important. Someone came through and said, when now maybe you are sent to go to a private pharmacy, at least the pharmacy actually must bill the government. And I think that's make more sense. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you? Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good.
Okay, speak up a little bit, ne?
I just want to ask, ne, which frequency do you listen at Eagle FM?
Which frequency?
Yes.
Well, there are a lot different frequency, but some frequencies at the moment the radio is not actually working through those frequency at the moment in some part of the country. So, and the best way actually it's actually to download the app, Eagle FM app, and then you can be able to listen anytime.
Because I'm in the north, man. Like, you know, I'm in Shakati.
Yeah, yeah. No, there has been, those has been off for a while now. All right?
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Is that all what you wanted to ask?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask.
Okay, no. Thanks, Sam.
Okay, thank you.
All right. All right. So, that, just think about it. Seriously, that's one thing that is something serious that we need to think about. Okay? When a public hospital, a public clinic, it doesn't have medications, and send you home, like we don't have that, and send you home, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean? So that's very, very serious, because it means that no, we can't help you. We cannot help you. You just go home and there's not even to say, look, come tomorrow. We might actually have medical available. So it's just, we don't have medical. And imagine, and I said this, a chronic person or an elderly person spent 3, 4, 5 hours in the queue just to the pharmacy, to get to the clinic pharmacy or the hospital pharmacy, and just to be told there's no medication for that specific, you know. These are chronic patients. Yeah? Sometimes they depend on these drugs. They depend on these medicines. And you told, no, we don't. I'm not blaming the person who says, I'm not blaming the person who's working there, who's actually telling the patient that we don't have this. It's the system. Eh? It is the system. All right. So please do come through. You still have about 11 minutes before we come to the end of the show. So, please do come through and have your contribution, have your say on this very important discussion. Our telephone number, 0833-66091, 0833-66091.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo chikao shafasana na longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana iye moyao otaingongotisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika zeithani na omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nena kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa betu moambo dengira selma onora heta tuimu datundatu heari jamano tano o niyash Eagle FM the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. This is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM.
And my name is Mike Chauvelli. I'm with you until 9:30. Yeah. So, well, yeah. Now, one thing that I really want to really to emphasize, and it's very, very, very important. So, is when the public when the public losing trust in healthcare. All right. If actually a public starting actually to lose trust in healthcare, now that is it becomes very, very, very dangerous. You know, when all these issues, as we have someone also, I have now two or three people who can come through that actually narrating what happened to them. And some people actually have lost loved ones due to, you know, delayed service or and all other factors that we have been talking about. Now, the danger is that when people hears stories that medicines are out of stock, and normally sometimes it's not just about hearing it, and that actually had been told, you come to the hospitals and medicine out of stock, even though, you know, and sometimes these things are sitting in the storeroom as it is in Rundu case. So they start to wonder if they can rely on the system. And as I said earlier on, trust is built when care is consistent and accessible. So if it's consistent and is accessible, that's how you actually then build a trust in terms of health. So, and if patients have to battle the system and spend on private care each time, you know, they may stop really believing the public system work for them. Do you understand? So they may stop believing that. And that becomes a really, really, really the problems. Because trust influences, as I said earlier, trust influences health outcomes. So when people start to think that they cannot actually trust the hospital, or they cannot go to the hospital, even if I go there, I won't even... So then it becomes... Then what do people start to do? They start actually to tend to self-medications, and that become very dangerous. They start to tend to traditional remedies, and especially in some areas like in rural regions. And sometimes that's where we hear food poisoning and whatever, you know, things that may actually contribute to that. So, and that's also become a problematic in a way, especially in communities or in the regions where now diseases like malaria and TBs are common, because now people may not actually go to the hospitals because they, you know, where now you're kind of like, you know, I will see if I'm, even if you go to the hospital, what do you do? What do you get? Yeah. So that's why that becomes the big problem. So if someone thinks the hospital won't have what they need, so they may not actually go to the hospital. And that becomes really a problem. And that's why, I say trust in the service. I mean, the health facilities or the ministries of health have really to build that trust in the service that they have to provide, because otherwise it can become a health problem, a really health problems. So especially when it comes to area like malaria, TB, that diseases that like malaria and TBs in areas, in community where this is actually common. Yeah, because people would believe that even if you go to the hospitals, what would they do? Yeah? they don't have medication. You can go there, they don't have medication. I was there the other day, there was nothing. You go there, there was nothing. So person became, may decided no. And as I said, when we have now people dying of these diseases, sometimes come from that kind of attitude, from that kind of belief that come from not trusting the system. So I think that's one area that I'm really, 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 you know, thinking that the ministry have to do a lot, you know. And as I said, the problem is that frustrations would spread through word of mouth. Eh? So it would spread actually through the word of mouth. And then can cast a shadow over the institutions. Even if you go to that clinic, if you, Yeah, it is a dangerous trend, if you like, if I can put it that way. So I think public confidence in healthcare is very precious. It's very precious. I would like to comment the ministry to make sure that, you know, a report on medicines shortages and supply problems need to be sorted out, and those who are responsible are taken. They are, you know, taken the account. They are accounted. They are not accounted, but taken. They are taken. I don't know what word I'm using. I'm kind of looking for a word. They're taken responsible. They are responsible. Yeah, you know, they are accounted for what for the things that they have done. Yeah. So, I think it was really a good discussion. And one thing that came out, I think that was really, really very interesting. And one made a suggestions of, so when now, why can't, you know, if there are no medicines in the hospital, all right, you can refer actually patients to private, you know, pharmacies, but make sure that the doctor actually, you know, indicated, you know, that when you, so the bill should actually go to the ministry. Yeah? The bill should go to the hospital. So it won't be a problem anymore of a shortage of medicines, because you can go to the private, but then, you know, the bill is sent to the ministry, because you can't send home people by just letting them, you know, we don't have medicines. Eh? You send them home. And if they don't have money, you're actually just saying, go and die. Eh? There's nothing that we can do. That's simply what you're saying. Well, it was a great pleasure this morning. And it's always a pleasure to be in your company. And, stay informed, stay tuned, and continue to listen to the programs that are coming your way this morning and the rest of the day. And coming up is Helmut with Mind the Gap. So for me, Michael Chavelli, I wish you a very pleasant day ahead. And until tomorrow on the same station here, Eagle FM. Thank you.
Omudia, with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafat and Anana, Longishifa, Yais, Yuikemoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tango Tisamwene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Zaitanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupira, Mo Eagle FM Media House, Way 20 Mimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki wimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira Selma
onara heta tuimu datu datu heari hamano tano oniyaj Eagle FM the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Oulio mnangeshefa ni wahara kushivifa oma akuroe kupitira mohorike radio station na weyo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahe tatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahe tatu natu, mbali ohe tatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.